What's up, world? Back again for another edition of No Hooks for the Hip Hop Chronicles on WEAA 88.9 FM right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Again, I'm Jared Ball. Happy to be your host working today with, we're going to call him the Big A, the Big Andre, running the boards, making sure things sound as they're supposed to. And we're very happy to have with us as a guest today an artist that I've been playing his music for a long time on a variety of radio programs and other things that I've been involved with, using his work in my classrooms. But I don't think we've ever had a chance to actually catch up in an actual interview. His name is Marcel P. Black. He is a brilliant MC and artist, and I want to talk specifically with him about his latest project, Cry Freedom, but in all kinds of related other things, as we'll see, are related to the work that he's involved in. Marcel, thank you for joining us, man. Welcome to the program.
It is an absolute honor and pleasure, man. I appreciate you having me.
So, real quick, because you had to tighten me up a few years ago in how I misidentified your place of origin on air. So let's start with a couple basic points. We're going to hear a little, the audience is going to get to hear some of your music in just a moment, and we'll be caught up. But give us the quick bio of where you're from and how you approach the art of emceeing.
Okay, really small, I'm Oklahoma. I graduated high school and I moved to Baton Rouge, where I graduated from Southern University. Pretty much cut my teeth on the Baton Rouge hip hop scene, so I consider myself a Baton Rouge or a Louisiana artist or whatever. And my approach to MCing, man, it's in the tradition of, I guess you could say, the Black Arts Movement. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, my father, grew up in a church with definitely spiritual influence. But more on a spiritual influence like a Jeremiah Wright or Albert Cleese or James Cone or whatever, definitely a student of
that liberation theology approach.
I read Black liberation theology and Black Christian nationalism, study 5% of stuff, all the good stuff or whatever. So, if there's something up there that can help Black people get free that looks like us, I'm all with it, But definitely taking that revolutionary approach to my art, definitely student of your Malcolm X and your Fred Hamptons and your, H.R. Brown and some Baton Rouge and things of that nature, I like to consider myself a non-traditional conscious artist because I'm not one of the guys who, limits myself to, just boom bap a particular idea of what you would think you would hear from a conscious artist, So I had a whole project called Trap Hop, which was an acronym for True Rebellion Against Poison, Harm, and Oppressed People, so I'm still kicking the same socio-political, conscious, revolutionary trap, content over trap beats or whatever. So that's really, I'm a youth development worker, so I realized that working with the young people, I have to have a sound that catches their ear, So, just trying to mix it like that, man, just give people good, high-quality hip-hop.
You mentioned his name, H-Rap Brown, also known now as Jamil Alameen. We want to raise up his name just quickly. Still locked down as a political prisoner, briefly with the Black Panther Party, a constant radical and progressive imam within Islam, and got locked up again. And there was just a day of commemoration for him this past week, and people should check out his work. They can learn more about him and other political prisoners with the Jericho Movement, and as we'll continue to talk about here on No Hooks. Just also briefly, you coming from that sort of political trajectory, and then you're also now in Baton Rouge, which is for a variety of reasons been back in the news lately. If you would, in just a less than a minute or so, just give us a quick snapshot of what's been happening from your vantage point regarding Baton Rouge, and then we're going to come back in another segment and talk more specifically about this new musical project of yours.
Okay, Baton Rouge, man. Baton Rouge is, when we talk Baton Rouge, we're definitely talking about the brother Alton Sterling. The neighborhood that Alton Sterling lived in, where he actually worked in 70805, has had some of the highest murder rates. One of the poorest zip codes. It's a really, really rough neighborhood that was also victim of unjust and over policing and unfair and racial profiling and what have you. So right after brother Alton was lynched or what have you, People, you know, congregated to what we now know as Ground Zero in Baton Rouge, and it was very peaceful because Brother Alton was about peace and love and whatever. Everybody knew him. Hell, I bought CDs from him, you know what I'm saying, when I used to work in that particular neighborhood or whatever. It was very, very peaceful. Once they started taking the protests outside of the, you know, and the police never really showed up and bothered anybody. Once they started taking the protests outside of North Baton Rouge or whatever, that's when you saw most police resistance. They literally bullied and picked on peaceful protesters. I mean, they literally, it's on video where you see, there's protesters that are on the street. They tell them to get on the sidewalk. They tell them to get off the sidewalk. There's a lady that lives in a particular community that says they can come to my yard. You know what I'm saying? They start pushing up on the protesters in the yard. She tells them they can come to my house. It's like 40 people. And the police run up in the house. So when I say they literally, like, Baton Rouge can get very ignorant, very, you know, can get kind of out of control because, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on here. And when I say that, for the most part, we remain peaceful, but we remain steadfast in our protests. And BRPD and other, agencies or whatever was really, really, like, picking at us and bullying us or what have you. And then what happened was when
Marcel, let me stop you right there. We got to take a break, and we're going to come back and start our next segment with that tease of what happened next. So don't go anywhere. More with Marcel P. Black. I'm Jared Ball. Big A running the boards for us here. No Hooks Hip Hop Chronicles. Back in just a minute. Peace. What's up? Back again. No Hooks Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Jared Ball. Big Andre running the boards, making sure everything sounds as they're supposed to. Again, we are part of the Hip Hop Chronicles here at WEAA 88.9 FM. Talking in part two of our conversation with Marcel P. Black, coming out of Baton Rouge, a radical hip hop MC, telling us mid-story what he and his comrades were doing, struggling in protest against what is continuing to happen against black communities in that area and around the country and around the world, most specifically related to the Alton Sterling killing. But let's go, Marcel, pick up where you left off.
So when you had the lone wolf or whatever, the deranged madman, when he murdered the police officers, the whole narrative shifted or whatever. And it was, I don't know if this was a mistake or not. Pretty much this whole thing split the city in half or what have you. So, like, literally, it was pretty much black against white. Nigga, you had your white allies doing their thing, but Baton Rouge has always been kind of a racist, segregated city or whatever. So I guess out of some of the leaders who were organizing the protest, out of respect for the officer slain, they kind of slowed down on the protest or whatever. But what we did do, we definitely kept up, awareness raising within our communities, through the artistic community. A friend and I have an organization called People First, where we raise money for the children of Alton Sterling and what have you. My partner in that organization has been dealing with the people at the city council about trying to get police reform and getting residency requirements for the officers or whatever, because what you have is you have all these officers who come police in Baton Rouge, but they live out in these outlying parishes, and they come in, and, you know, these outlying parishes, like, for instance, one of the parishes that the majority of the officers come from to work in Baton Rouge is like the KKK capital for Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get what you're dealing with some of these white officers. And we still be keeping it active. And then with the flood, that kind of set everybody back or whatever. So, as far as, like, the protests and the things of that nature. So it's been a struggle. And, I mean, the officer who missed Brother Alton is still free, still getting paid or what have you. What me and my guys are doing, we're definitely trying to keep awareness, you know what I'm saying, of what's going on, and try to fight to get some type of justice.
Well, let's take a quick couple of minutes here to talk about the music that you do, which is sort of the sonic complement to the activism you're talking about here. And this new work, again, as I said at the top, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, but this new piece, Cry Freedom, is just, I think, a masterpiece and, you know, right up my alley. Talk to us about the origins of the name Cry Freedom, and then let's talk quickly about some of the tracks that are on this album.
All right, originally the album was supposed to be called By Any Means. I started working on this project when I was still in college, and it just kind of had a couple different delays and, you know, just kind of put it to the side. When I started working the album, going through the sequence, and I felt like, you know, By Any Means is something, it's almost cliche when you're dealing with hip-hop or just any type of revolutionary circle. So the last song of the album was Cry Freedom, and I remember seeing the movie you know, about Stephen Biko with Denzel Washington playing in, and I just, like, out of all the titles from the track listing, it stuck out the most. When I say Cry Freedom, I'm talking about the joys, the pain, the tears shed, the blood shed, or, you know, just the actual struggle and the fight to actual, you know, for freedom or whatever. Sometimes it's ugly, sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes we get to the other side, sometimes we don't or whatever. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, we're screaming out and we're showing that emotion. And I mean, if you ever heard me and my artist, like, I wear my soul on my sleeves and in my voice or whatever. So, I mean, I think it's kind of, it describes my style as an artist, you know what I'm saying? And it definitely, people, like, when the album came out a couple of weeks after Brother Alton was lynched, and I started to push it back, but I got a phone call from Brother Siri X, who motivated me. I got phone calls from the Nation of Islam in New Orleans, and they motivated me to go ahead and talk to my fans. They said, we need this, and it's kind of been helmed as the soundtrack to the city and the soundtrack of summer 2016. So, I'm very blessed and honored to be able to lend my voice to the struggle that's going on, and, you know, in Baton Rouge or whatever.
You know,
I gotta be that spokesperson for it.
I love it, and the only problem with Cry Freedom, of course, is that the film is based on the book, which is based on the white allies' account of his relationship with Biko. So even the movie, unfortunately, features more about him and his family than on Biko himself. that's the only problem with it. But, you know, so we would encourage people, and that's why I've taken, you know, the work of I Mix What I Like comes from Biko's I Write What I Like, and we encourage people to go back and see what Biko was actually saying for himself directly, which comes out a lot in the politics of your work. I mean, Negroes with Guns, obviously a tribute to Robert Williams and Mabel Williams, Monroe, North Carolina. You got my man Tef Poe on the album. You know, tell us a little bit, if you would, about, well, let's just, at least those, the politics of the album. What in terms of the ideology of the content are you looking for, or is coming out of this? And give it to me in like 20 seconds, man. Just a quick political synopsis.
I've been sitting on this album for a long time, and I've just been sparring it away. I just wanted to make a super duper pro black conscious revolutionary hip hop album in the vein of a Linsky Free, in the vein of a Soul Food, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And make it, like, you know, definitely Southern or whatever. You know, I'm talking about Ms. Mabel and Robert F. Williams. I'm talking about, I mentioned a bunch of cards. I'm mentioning your boy George Jackson. Of course, I have a Farrakhan speech. I have a Malcolm X speech. I have a Martin Luther King speech on the album. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, I'm missing the Booker T. Washington and things of that nature. You know, I got my degree in history from Southern. And so, like, you know, definitely a student of those brothers and mothers and sisters as well, who've always, you know, just making the album, not worrying about the radio. I'm thinking about my people. I'm trying to reflect the struggle and what we're going through. I'm just trying to provide, you know, that revolutionary, I guess, provocative voice.
Well, we got your back here at No Hooks and WEAA, man. We got your back. So Yuli's going to get this bit of radio. And we encourage people to check you out. Marcel P. Black is his name. The new album is Cry Freedom. Check him out, Bandcamp, elsewhere. Marcel, thank you for joining us, man. Sorry it was so short. We'll catch you in the whirlwind, my man.
No problem. I appreciate you.
Thanks to all of you for listening. Again, I'm Jared Ball for No Hooks and the Hip Hop Chronicles. Keep it locked to WEAA. And as Fred Hampton used to say to you, we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. Catch you in the whirlwind. Peace, everybody.